So as we move into this last week of the winter retreat period, it's helpful to just reflect and recollect on things that are helpful, supportive themes for contemplation, and particularly for our actual meditation practice. So something that's always useful is a recollection of the five hindrances, the Nivarana in Pali. And these are things that the Buddha said overwhelm mindfulness, overwhelm awareness, and weaken our discernment, weaken our wisdom, so that put into that light, then there's not much, I say, not much reason to be complacent, but to be alert and diligent in attending to these things that do hinder these hindrances of the mind. The Buddha points to sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and worry, and skeptical doubt. As five qualities of mind that are, are really ordinary and present in certainly most all of us, and that to be figuring out ways to recognize them more quickly, and then to release them, be able to let them go, or finding some kind of counterweight to these things that overwhelm our awareness, our mindfulness, and weaken our discernment, our wisdom. Another image or simile that the Buddha uses is that these are, he uses the image or the example of gold, in that that there's, say, five impurities of gold that make gold not radiant, not malleable, not pliant, not workable, and those are, like iron, tin, lead, copper, silver. These are things that decrease the luster and flexibility or the malleability of gold, so it's not easily made into an ornament or a piece of jewelry. So in the same way, the five habits of mind or tendencies or qualities, impurities, obstruct the radiance of the mind, the malleability, pliability, the workability of the mind. And those are all qualities that the Buddha attributes to samadhi, the nature of the mind as it enters and dwells in samadhi is a quality of radiance, a quality of malleability, pliability, workability, and certainly the a well developed, well steadied mind is a great ornament to human existence. And of course, the Buddha points to these five hindrances as those qualities: sense desire, sensual desire, ill will, irritation, aversion, sleepiness and drowsiness, or dullness and lassitude, restlessness, worry, kind of anxiety, and skeptical doubt, the mind uncertain as to what is, say, what's true, what's good, what's useful, what is beneficial, what's right, what's wrong. The mind agonizes over, out of doubt, what is truly beneficial or skillful. So it's just being attentive to these qualities of the hindrances and finding antidotes, so that the mind settles and in reality, as we do identify that which is a hindrance and release it, relinquish it, let it go, the natural inclination is to return to awareness and clarity. It's the natural inclination of the mind. So to be that sense of recognizing, okay, this is the hindrance. This is the hindrance of sensual desire, and it doesn't necessarily even have to be raging lust or anything. It's that fantasy of something more interesting, something more exciting, something more exciting than my breath. So we tend to, we're seeking gratification. Just that sense of directing the mind or allowing the mind to return to a quality of contentment and clarity. As that's what the possibility that we have with mindfulness and discernment. There's a continuity of awareness, a quality of being present with the with this knowing, and realizing that is enough. I don't need to run after anything else. I don't have to gratify myself with some stimulation in some way, shape, or form, whether it's through an object of the senses or an object of the mind itself, the mind seeking stimulation, just thinking, just not being so content enough to be present with the object of meditation. And it's really helpful to pick that up as a theme. And why does the mind wander off its theme of meditation? why can't it be content with its object of meditation? And it's not always sensual desire that does sort of pull one out. It's just the there's some sort of sound or something that one hears, or just a memory popping up in the mind, and irritation, ill will, aversion, coming up, and it being immediately accepted as believable. Somehow I should believe in this. I need to take exception and take umbrage at this particular person, situation. And we tangle the mind up in unwholesome states. I mean, it's the nature of these hindrances is that all of them are unwholesome, unskillful, unbeneficial. Akusala in Nepali. And then even things like sloth and torpor, sleepiness or drowsiness and dullness, even though it's not sort of, you know, anger or obsession with sensuality, which are kind of immediately obvious as unwholesome, unskillful. But just the fact that the mind is has separated itself from its aware, knowing, clear possibility, and then that is the akusala there. That is the unwholesome and unskillful, and it's a true loss to be separated from that quality of knowing. So then recognizing when the mind does start to drift into dullness, because that's oftentimes the case. It isn't as if we sort of make a choice. Like sometimes we make a choice. So I'm gonna turn to that sense desire. This ill will needs to be followed up on. This is upsetting. But we tend to just drift into dullness without really paying attention. And similarly, we tend to drift into just that kind of restless, kind of worry, niggling agitation of the mind. And then we lose our clarity. Or just getting caught in the wavering of the mind, that wavering, that uncertainty, you know, what is right, what's true, what should I do, what do I do now, so that the mind loses its radiance, so that just to be attentive to these, picking up this as a theme for investigation, so that one can return to the qualities of mind that help to establish it in radiance and malleability. Being workable, the mind is its possibilities of suppleness and radiance are just so important to be attending to, that it's just something to bring up as a counterpoint as we continue our meditation, whether it's sitting meditation, walking meditation.